Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Help me, please. I'm stuck in a podcast. I really am stuck in a podcast. Can someone come and help me, please? Yeah, just come and help me. Get me out of this podcast. Please? 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 Summer people, how are you doing? Well, summer in the Northern Hemisphere anyway. If you're in Australia, sorry, it's probably cold down there. Right, what have we got for you today? An amazing episode with a brilliant person who I love talking to. It's Sheena Battessa. Sheena has been in shows like Casualty, Midsummer Murders, EastEnders, Doctors, and NBC's Ransom, some films as well. And talking of films, she has produced a very, very cool little short film called Kitchen Tales, which she was heavily involved with. Now, Sheena has also founded the media brand Citizen Femme, a female-focused media looking at lifestyle and travel, which is also a really cool thing. Me and Sheena talked in central London and it was lots of fun. Sheena, thank you so much for talking to me. As always, if you like podcasts, everyone likes podcasts. If you love podcasts and if you like this one in particular, then do let us know. Leaving a review would be the best way to do it. And if you'd also like to follow us on socials, that would be wonderful. It's at Park Date Podcast. Enjoy and have a great time. Welcome to Paddington Street Gardens in Marylebone in London, and I'm here with Sheena Battessa. Sheena, how are you today?
I'm cold.
We were just saying, the weather's taken a bit of a turn, hasn't it?
I know, but it's lovely. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. It was so good to see you again. We were just having a little catch-up now. We went to your favourite coffee shop.
We did.
And got a very nice hot chocolate. And we were just saying, it's been a while since we've seen each other, so it's so nice to see you again. And you've been up to all these different things. We were talking about Casualty, which is very exciting.
Very.
DCI, I'm looking at the new DCI Devra.
Yeah, Vadra.
Vadra.
Yeah.
DCI Vadra, yeah. Sorry. And how do you feel about like doing that role and that part? Is it exciting? And
yeah, I love it. You know, this is I've been up for Casualty a couple of times. The first was a really long-running regular for a really long contract. And then it was for a single act. And then with the background cackle of schoolgirls.
I think the schools have just kicked out, yeah.
Great timing. this was a really happy medium because I'm coming back to filming after having a baby. So it's a really lovely step in to 8-9 episodes, maybe longer. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Of just filming again. It's a really... The character, you know, as I get older, I realised that...
You still look so young, though. Oh, we both look so young.
Yeah, you look young too. Sorry, I should reciprocate the compliment. I realised I have to do less because I actually just fit into... We should know this from before. We fit into stereotypes. Yeah. So, of course, I fit into the DCI role. And it's great. It's fun. It feels... Actually, going back into it feels like a holiday. It's so much fun. It's so effortless. It's so lovely to do it. The cast are the nicest people. And the crew, the directors, everything. So I love it. I'm absolutely loving it.
You do it in Cardiff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Back and forth once or twice a week in Cardiff.
In the fictional city of Holby, which I know from pub quiz time, is supposed to be Bristol, isn't it?
It is supposed to be Bristol, but we're actually near the Doctor Who set as well.
Oh my God, have you ever seen... you can't possibly reveal anything you've seen, can you?
I haven't seen anything. That's not even like hiding. I have not seen anything.
That could be exciting though, couldn't it?
Yeah, there is a huge exhibition and everything, which I should go and visit.
Yeah.
But it's all just in the same... There's so much filming happening in Cardiff, actually.
Yeah, there's lots, isn't there? Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great spot.
That's very cool. So are you doing anything, any kind of method acting to get into your role? Have you been like following police officers or... You know, trailing people who look like criminals. Well, you'll probably find some criminals in this park.
I've been trailing some criminals.
You find some criminality in here, right?
Police officers, can you imagine? I have a few restraining orders. I'm really getting into character.
Yeah.
No, I actually studied method acting. Mm. But I think that's for... If you're going to play Margaret Thatcher, if you're going to play these really big roles in history, it makes sense for actors to follow that kind of thing, but not this. And also, it's so quick. That I don't think you really have that time to indulge in anything quite as severe as that kind of preparation for a character.
Yeah.
You do your own prep, not as much as method acting.
Yeah.
Not for this.
And what's it like with the kind of process? Are they ever open to say, if you suggest a line or an improvisation? Do you have to like rigidly stick to the script? Or?
No, they're great. Actually, on my first... day, I was like learning word for word, punctuation, full stop, take a beat, breath here. You know, it was so rigid.
Yeah.
And then my co-actor, who's the longest running member in it right now, and he's superb, he's like, just play with it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. They'll come and correct you if there's something specific. You've got your script supervisor, and they'll say, no, this makes more sense, or we've written it like that specifically, but feel free to make it your own, which is great. And it, you know, you'll do a run through with the director beforehand. Then they'll come and they'll set it so all the crew can see the movement of and the shape of the scene.
Right.
So before that, you'll talk it through. You'll read the script a couple of times and just chuck in whatever feels more natural and you can throw it out. And they're very open to adjusting.
And I think that works really well, personally. As I kind of watch these... I watch everything with my writer's hat on. I'm kind of thinking about... I love really great, like, naturalistic dialogue, for example. I think it's really good sometimes when you see actors... like improvise and just go with what feels
well. You shouldn't really be able to tell, because if it does feel naturalistic, then perhaps a writer's done an excellent job of making it sound naturalistic, and then the actor's pulled it off the page.
Exactly.
So it shouldn't sound like it's scripted.
Yeah,
it should sound very natural anyway.
Yeah, maybe it's our job as writers, or you know, producers as well in your case, to be kind of invisible and let the magic kind of happen.
Yeah,
sometimes things can be like overproduced, overwritten, can't they, as well?
Yeah, so it's difficult. I hugely respect writers. It's so tough to do what you guys do. I don't think I would ever get my head around writing a script, but to be able to write something so naturalistically and then hope the actor can lift your words to make it sound like they would actually say that, and then it's up to us to be able to play with it if required to make it sound like the writer intended.
Exactly. It's almost like it's kind of a back and forth, isn't it, in a way, like between writer, director, and then the actor. I guess you have to have that kind of back and forth, though. I bet there's been occasions where you've maybe not had, like, don't name any occasions, but I bet you've been in situations where maybe the back and forth hasn't been so, like, it hasn't worked so well. Maybe they've been, like, very strict about what they want, or they've not listened to the actors or whatever.
I think that would be more so in a film, a feature, or maybe a limited series.
Mm.
But in something like a long-running drama like Casualty, you've got an ongoing writer's room.
Mm.
And it's, I mean, until the day of, you're getting script edits.
Right.
So it's such a work in progress all the time. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's much more malleable, I think, in a film, because it's kind of set until you've got the budget and then go and run with it.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's less room to play.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, shoot.
Yeah.
We've got 1 hour to get the scene and then,
exactly.
Go for it. Yeah, that's really interesting. One of the things I wanted to talk to you as well about, Sheena, was... your short, Kitchen Tales, I read, we'll talk more about that, but just one thing that came to my mind that I thought was super, super interesting, which I'd not come across before, was this idea of you guys having a movement director
on that
short film. I wonder if you could talk to us a bit about how you kind of came to do that, and then maybe that will lead into talking about the film as well.
Of course. Without Imogen Knight, the movement director, we would have been lost. She was such an essential part of it. We had no dialogue in the film. And we age 40, 45 years in what started as an 11-minute script and then ended up being a 20-minute script. Yeah. That's a short space of time to age. So it's not just how you look or the dress. You go through eras, decades. 70s fashion to 80s to 90s to noughties fashion changes tremendously. Your hair, sideburns, colour, shapes, that changes. But your body moves. How you move as an 18-year-old compared to a 50-year-old changes so much. How you pick something up, how you move a chair.
Yeah.
The movement director helped us. And how you communicate as a couple, your body language is everything. Mm. So that helped us communicate what we needed to for that dialogue.
Yeah.
And that was such an essential part of it. And it was Jane Moriarty, the director, who said, look, I think we need to get Imogen in. So we had a one-day workshop with her. Mm. And it was myself and Nikesh Patel, who plays my husband. He's a wonderful actor. And we literally played around for an entire day. And we went in chronological order of the script, which is often rare to film as well. But we rehearsed it in that order and we filmed it in chronological order. So we could age with it. So you're kind of jumping around as an 18-year-old who's falling in love and, you know, you're meeting someone compared to a 60-year-old when you've had years of arguments. You're not talking, you may be talking. That dynamic between people, we worked through our body language in that workshop day, which was such a huge part of making that film.
Yeah, that really made me think when I was I was watching your video and you were talking about using the movement director Imogen, and I never come across that before, but actually the more I think about it, it really does make sense, doesn't it? That you know, you do move in different ways. And we were sort of watching these kind of school kids with their kind of like lurchy walk, and then obviously when you get older, like, you kind of move in different ways as well. So yeah, it kind of changes over time, doesn't it? It's very interesting.
The variables that we had were age, costume, makeup. The setting was the same throughout, and no dialogue. So you have to play with what you can, right?
Yeah.
We had these incredible prosthetic makeup artists who aged us throughout, and aged us down and aged us up.
Yeah.
The music was done by Stephen Warbeck, he did Shakespeare in Love and Indian Summers and all of these incredible productions. Who else? I mean, everybody was superb. But adding movement to it helped us go through. I mean, after having a baby, how do you move?
Yeah.
All of these variables.
Did you have a favourite? Was it more fun going back to being like 18 or being like 60?
Really. Because I have the energy now that I would have as an 18-year-old. But I walk differently, and it's really difficult to go backwards. It was easier to go forwards in age because you can identify more how you would change it. But when you're 18, you don't skip around exactly. You don't, you know, you're perhaps a bit more sprightly in your movement and your toes, but it was harder to go younger than it was older.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And also not being cliche when you get older. You're like,
you
know, it's not necessary.
That's what
like
I'm
that.
Like now when I leave the house.
Well, yeah, exactly, that happens. So it was easier to move forward, trying to not make it cliche, but the slowness, the movement, picking up plates with two hands, not one hand.
Yeah.
All these things were really interesting to discover.
It's so, so interesting. And Kitchen Tales is this, you know, it's about love, right? And it's about food and it's about family and all these things. Really, really kind of heartwarming story. What was it that kind of made you want to make that, Sheena? What was the kind of driving force behind it?
So the writer, Anupama Chandrasekhar, she had written the script at the National Studio when she was studying with the director, Jane. And this was several years ago. Jane and I did a play at the Haymarket just before COVID. And she dug up the script and said, Sheena, have a read, what do you think? And to this day, when I read it again, breaks my heart. It's such a beautifully written script. And it's a tale of immigrant couples. At that time, it wasn't to the UK, but we changed it to the UK. And no matter who I speak to or share the story with, Irish, Indian, Cuban, American, you know, whatever your background, history, your cultural background, everybody can relate to it. Mm. Their parents getting together, moving to another country, settling, getting to know each other. Perhaps it wasn't always a love marriage where you know you date and live together for 10 years and then you maybe get married, you maybe don't. It was a really different generation back then, and we don't see a lot of those stories of our parents' generation, and it was so relatable for everybody that read it or we relayed the story to. And it just felt beautiful to be able to tell it. For me, it was personal, not for the struggles in the parents' marriage, but for the tale of a father traditionally going out to work and a mother traditionally staying at home, often in the kitchen. And their separation through that and the difficulties of the communication,
yeah,
often with things just swept under the carpet and not really spoken about. Now we're all about talking and let it out and speak about your emotions. And back then it wasn't like that.
No.
Still often it's not like that. But everybody, and you're nodding as well, everybody can relate to it. It doesn't matter what culture you
are.
Yeah,
it's so true. And I think that the idea of not talking is a really, really interesting one, because I'm sure maybe you have this in your family background, and I certainly do. I'm from the north of England, where nobody talks about anything.
Yeah.
The idea of therapy and kind of communication is just anathema, really.
Means there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, people never really talked about anything, never talked about their feelings. And actually, I think in a lot of relationships, people don't. But as we now know, that's super unhealthy, probably. Yeah. I think it's good to share things, good to talk about things. Yeah. And yeah, I think that idea of not talking is so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, it makes you think so much, and it makes you concentrate on the images as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a very, very powerful tool, isn't it?
And our film was entirely silent.
I mean,
I think they had six words throughout the film or something.
Yeah.
So that also...
Very brave, very bold to do that.
That had that message, thank you. Yeah. That had that message of no dialogue. And the music completely led us through it. So, if you watch a horror movie and you put it on silent, you know, you turn it on mute, rather, you don't have that same fear. Mm. So the music completely transforms a piece. And that's what it did in this. It allowed us to go through their journey while we're watching it without that dialogue.
Yeah.
And so we would have to use newspaper snippets or all of these kind of things which would help accentuate where we were in history. So Prince William being born, you have a newspaper saying it's a boy, so you know kind of what era you're in, and music changing and all of that. So it was really helpful to not have dialogue, because you can see that you can actually, less is more.
Yeah.
Even though you've got that point of dialogue being so important that we communicate, losing it completely, the audience was still able to follow that story, mm-hmm, immaculately.
Yeah.
And know exactly what's happening.
Yeah. And it's
magic.
Yeah, it really appeals to me. I love very verbose films. I love sort of mumblecore movies where it's just like what we're doing now, two people in a park talking.
Yeah.
And I think that's really great. But I also love those kind of silent, experimental,
yeah,
films. I think I might steal your idea, because we were talking a bit earlier. I have this idea for a sort of short film set in a Lido. And it did actually occur to me about, maybe not so much silence, but you'd have the sort of ambient noise of the splashing. And
yeah, I love it.
Kind of all the, you know, sort of people talking in the background. But actually, like, there are a lot of times when we're not talking in life,
yeah,
right? Like, there's so many times when we don't talk.
There's a beauty to silence. Be able to sit with somebody in complete comfort and silence. You don't,
yeah,
have to fill the gaps.
Yeah, and that's kind of a mark of a sort of deep
relationship.
Yeah,
well,
exactly. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, it is nice to sort of feel that you can sit in silence with someone.
100%.
So yeah,
and not look at your phone.
Right, exactly. Very important.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's super, super, super interesting. But I was thinking of other occasions when people have done that as well. There's a couple of other films. I was also thinking of, I don't know if you've ever seen BoJack Horseman, one of my favourite shows.
Yeah.
It's about Hollywood, and it's about movies and acting.
Yeah.
And it's also about like life and kind of what it means to be human. And there's an episode where they go under the sea. It sounds surreal and weird, but again, there's kind of no talking. And it's
spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Very weird and experimental, and I actually do think there's a lot of power. And your film has resonated, you know, you've won awards for it, it's been shown at festivals, so you must be really happy with how it's gone, right?
So happy. It was my first film I ever made. Yeah. I always wanted to produce.
You were the producer of Kitchen Towers, right? And obviously in the film.
And
well,
amongst other producers, and acting in it as well. Yeah. So I always wanted to produce. This, sometimes you just have to jump. Yeah. Otherwise you overthink and it doesn't happen. We crowdfunded during lockdown, which was nuts. So that was an experience in itself. We got it made, and I think the blessing that COVID gave us was the access to talent, because they would have been filming these massive projects. I mean, our makeup team was off Batman and Game of Thrones, and you know, they had this vast experience doing these kind of productions, which they brought to our tiny little project.
And they made you guys look great as well.
It was superb. They were so brilliant. So we were able to access that level of talent to produce this kind of production in 4 days during COVID. And I loved it. Yeah. I've totally got the production bug, and I'm now working on something else. So I love it.
That's
love
very
it.
Exciting. Yeah. Are you allowed to reveal, or is it top secret?
Not top secret. It's just nothing signed yet. Nothing's done. it's very much a work in
that's
progress.
Like, every,
like everything.
Yeah. People say, what are you working on? Right. Yeah, there's a million
there's
things.
There's a million things, yeah. How much time do you have?
When are they going to get green lit, basically? Yeah. Someone's just going to sign the check or whatever the modern equivalent of that is. Send the funds across. But yeah, I guess it's a different thing as well. How did you feel about, I guess, with a production role, maybe there's a lot of like kind of logistical and organisational things. Are you good at that? Are you an organiser?
No, I'm terrible at that. It was interesting because I found it very difficult to take off the producer hat while acting.
Right.
But the London producing team, Charlotte and a bunch of the others, were so good. They were like, they stopped copying me or anything. They just went, shut the door, you're in your dressing room, you do what you have to do. Yeah. The rest is on us. Yeah. So it was, I think it was about a week or 10 days before, completely removed. So you're not involved in anything else now. Now you just focus on that.
Right.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's superb. So from then, I mean, there were tiny little bits of logistics, but honestly, nothing that they didn't solve.
Yeah.
But they were incredible.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
And we had about 30 people on the set, so.
Wow.
Pretty.
That's a lot of organisation.
Yeah,
exactly.
For a short. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations on it. And obviously, food is a big part of it as well.
Huge.
Food is, you know, kind of
everything.
Yeah, food means love in like so many different ways, different cultures, and what was the kind of inspiration for that? I mean, like we've talked about this before. We're both like big foodies, aren't we?
Yeah.
In fact, the first time we met was a food
exactly
food related
in India.
We were exactly in India. It was a great trip, great food. But food is important to you as well, isn't it, Sheena? Yeah.
And for this film, authenticity was really important.
Yeah.
So Nikesh, myself, and Jane. Of course, Anu, the writer, as well. We discussed a lot what was important and relatable to us. Our backgrounds are similar in that our parents are East African Indians. So we changed it so the parents came from that background to the UK.
Right,
so
like Uganda
Kenya.
Kenya. Yeah.
So the little words that we used within it were Gujarati, which is our mother tongue. The food was all what's native to us that we eat at home on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so Jane would come around to my mum's place. I'm not a very good cook. So she would come around to my mum's, and my mum would make all these dishes. So it was the food reference and helping us create the menu that was then in the script. So it was totally authentic. So no one can come and go, oh, well, that's not really real. That wouldn't happen. It was. It did. It does.
Yeah.
Very much. So it was absolutely relatable. The pots and pans and 70-odd% of all of that was from my mother's and my 96-year-old grandmother's kitchen.
Oh, wow. So
because
very authentic.
Hoarders, very much hoarders. It was not difficult to find, you know, a pot or a jug or a porcelain plate from the 60s or the 70s because she had it all in stock. And the set designers kept it so beautifully and, you know, gave it back. But it was all original that was used. Menus, all very much original.
Yeah.
It was simplified as they got older. It's stuff that my parents would make now, like a really simple khichdi and a yogurt, because it's easy.
Yeah.
As opposed to those banquets when you're young or in love and, you know, you're trying to impress, and now it's like, fuck it. Doesn't matter now. So that had that authenticity that was really relatable to us as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, food. Yeah, food is so important.
And it's such a central part, like you said, in all cultures.
Exactly.
It brings people together, right?
Exactly. Yeah. What do you do at, you know, celebrations, religious holidays, weddings, just family? Exactly. Yeah. When you get together, it's about eating, isn't it? Yeah. And everyone comes together. And I think it's often, I don't know about your family, but I remember my granny was always very keen to cook for us.
Yeah.
And my mum loves to.
You haven't eaten enough. Eat more. You got too slim. Eat more.
I was a very chubby child.
Eat more.
Getting a lot.
You're losing weight. Eat more.
I was getting a lot of cakes and biscuits when I was young. But yeah, it's very, very, very interesting. And well, speaking of this as well, we went to your favourite cafe.
Yeah.
And the hot chocolate is very good. I have to say.
It is good, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been having my hot chocolate in the background. But yeah, it's very, very nice.
This is my first hot chocolate of the year.
It's lovely. It's lovely. I was going to go for a coffee, but I'm glad I got this. Well, what we'll do now, Sheena, should we have a little walk around the park? And we'll just just have a little explore around here. Because you mentioned to me, so we're in Paddington Street Gardens.
We are.
You're a relatively new mum, and you were saying that you bring your daughter down here. We're just looking at the playground, aren't we?
So one of my favourite parks is actually Regent's Park.
Yes.
Because of the ducks. I love the lake. I would run around that park, I mean, 3-4 times a week.
There's a lot
it's
of
beautiful.
Them, though. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? You
know, with parks or ducks?
That part of Regent's Park on the, you know, by the lake where there's quite a lot of ducks and birds. They kind of all come over, don't they?
They do.
Try to steal your sandwiches.
I hope that's not my screaming child. No, it's not. They've never been aggressive to me so far.
Yeah.
But I do love that park, the Rose Garden.
It's really
beautiful.
Cool, isn't it?
The Shakespeare Festival in the middle.
Oh, the Open Air Theatre, yeah.
Yeah, I love that park. Mm-hmm. But now my daughter's one, so I find myself every day when I'm in London at Paddington Park.
Paddington, yeah, exactly.
It's really lovely. There's a chess set here. There's enough green where she can run around. Mm-hmm. Lots of babies she can play with. Plenty of dogs she can bark at.
This is a really
nice swings.
It's a really nice little
hours
park, isn't it?
Yeah.
You still know you're in the city, and I can hear
building
sort of
work.
But yeah, building. We were talking about the podcast. My worst enemy these days is the wind and builders.
Yeah, you can't hide from that.
Yeah, it's you know you're in London, but there's what's this thing here? There's a strange like little kind of building with a little door.
I've been here so much. There's probably so much history, and it's probably going to say a burial ground for something.
Yeah,
so
maybe
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
It might put me off.
Something creepy. Yeah, we won't look in there too much, but some nice. Very well manicured, kind of like rose beds here. It's been very nicely kind of looked
after.
It's
a beautiful park.
It is
it's
a
always
nice
got
park,
really lovely people.
Yeah.
Especially you go there, you end up just having a chat to somebody.
Yeah.
Benches donated by various people.
I love that. The plaques on the benches.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Memory,
what's this
the
one?
Dear friend Jill Talbot, who loved this garden as much as her little dog
Oscar.
Oh my gosh, that breaks my heart.
Oscar.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. It's very nice, isn't it, when you see all the plaques on the
benches. I would come and sit here on a summer's day with a coffee and a book.
Yeah.
And just hang out for a couple of hours. Yeah. It's so nice.
It's really nice, isn't it? A really nice park. And we were saying, I didn't realise you'd spent so much time in Marylebone. You were talking about your parents, Sheena, having a hotel here. So you've got a lot of history around these parts, haven't you?
Yeah, my family's been here since before Marylebone became cool.
Yeah.
We were the uncool lot before all the cool dudes came in. So my family's been here for over 40 years.
Yeah.
A very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
They're from East Africa originally. My father came here many years ago to study and ended up, not screaming, but ending up investing and buying property here.
Yeah.
And so they're in the hotel industry and have been here since then. And I grew up in Kent, but my father would drive up to London every day for work until he just said 3 hours of commuting every day is just too much.
Yeah.
And we all moved up to town.
Yeah.
To Marylebone.
That was a very, very good decision of your dad's because that was become,
I love it.
It's become very expensive here as well. Lots
it
of,
really has. Yeah. My gosh, it's mad, this area.
Yeah.
So that's why we came in early. We got lucky.
Very, very, very,
but
very good decision.
But it's really,
yeah.
really beautiful. Yeah. The high street is, it's just right because you've got that village feel here.
Yeah.
And everyone's very friendly.
They are, aren't
it's kind of neighbourhoody.
Yeah.
Maybe avoid Oxford Street.
Yeah.
But you're just close enough to get everywhere.
Marylebone High Street is so cute, isn't it?
It is.
I feel like if you're a tourist, it would be a great place to come and kind of see see a nice nice part of London. I love Daunt Books. Do you ever go in Daunt?
All the time.
How good is Daunt Books?
Actually, day two of my daughter being born, I took her in there, no joke, day two, and I went, smell the books. Don't smell iPads, smell the books.
Right, get a reading.
Let's go to Daunt.
Yeah, that's so cute.
I have a picture of that with a book in her face going...
Did you get her like a Dr. Seuss or something?
All of it. She's got the most epic book collection.
Yeah. And you still live around here these days as well, so
I do.
Yeah, Marylebone is your kind of...
Marylebone is my hood.
Yeah. Can you ever see yourself like going to the country, like maybe going back to Kent, or do you like the city?
Right
more?
Now, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I don't like to waste day. Times, work day times, commuting.
Yeah.
I like to spend that where I am doing something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I'm reading or listening to a podcast or something, I want to be either going for a walk doing it or something. It's not to get to A to B.
Yeah.
Also, my husband lives in the Caribbean. It's a very odd situation we have. So that commute for me is more than enough.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah, London to St Martin is quite a lot. That's quite a lot.
So I
commute.
Quite like the best of it, where I can be in London and I'm just right in the centre of it all. I love the bustle. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Maybe when I'm older. Yeah. Right now I'm happy where I am.
Yeah. It's good to be. Yeah, good to be happy in your place, isn't it? Like so many people are kind of looking for something else, but as long as you're happy where you are.
I like it very much.
Yeah, that's important. Should we sit down for a minute, maybe?
Well, why not?
Let's sit on one of these benches. This looks like...
And this is, look, D.H.M.J. Stevenson, the sun has got his hat on.
That is so
sweet. I think we found
our
bench.
Let's sit on this one. The sun's got... Well, the sun's sort of got his hat on. There's a little bit of sun, isn't there?
I need a woolly hat on.
It's getting a bit cold. Yeah. By the way, why do they put... Are these extra arms, I'm speculating, so people can't sleep on the bench or something?
Oh, my gosh, I never noticed
that. I don't know, because... There's kind of like arms in the middle of the benches, not that one, but I'm not sure.
Is that not normal to have an... I don't even know now. No, those ones don't have arms.
No, those don't, do they?
That's an interesting observation.
Or maybe it's just so you can have a...
An armrest.
When
you're having a Pret sandwich.
Exactly. You could put your Pret coffee on the side.
There
and it obviously...
Very thoughtful.
English people were social distancing before we needed to
exactly.
do it. So this is kind of English, isn't it? Like, everyone take their place. Don't get too
exactly.
close to... Don't get too close to everyone. But yeah, it's very, very nice in this park. There's lots of kind of... I can see like a sort of Christmas tree thing over there, which has caught my eye, which looks like maybe something from... Do they put Christmas lights
they
on that?
Do.
It looks like a Christmas tree.
They do a really lovely turning on the lights.
Yeah.
In way too early, probably like next week or something.
Well, are you going to do that? They need a celebrity to do that. You need to
soon. One day.
Email Westminster Council.
I'll ask them. Have you heard of me?
Yeah.
No. Can I turn on your lights? No. I think they might get a recognised name. But they do a lovely thing in local schools. Do Christmas carols.
Oh,
and then
nice.
In the summertime, they have in the park here. Outdoor movie screenings and like music nights and live bands and food stalls, and it's nice.
Yeah, it's good to have that, isn't it? Like you want it to be a community space.
It is very villagey.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess very like international sort of crowd of people that will come here, because people live in this area.
I've heard more French
all around the world
than I have
they?
Heard English, I have to admit, in the last few weeks.
Yeah, lots of French people.
Maybe lots of French schools nearby.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Lycée Français is not too far away.
It's in South Kent,
I think. Kensington, isn't it?
Yeah. But a lot of international, and I like that.
Yeah.
I like to be able to hear all the different languages. I like my daughter to hear it and, you know, meet interesting people.
Exactly.
Best
Russians.
Thing about London.
There must be a few Russians.
Not heard much of the Russians,
really?
Actually.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but that I think that's one of the great things about London as well, isn't it? You have this, like, international... Very exciting. Where I'm from in the countryside, it was very, very kind of...
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Yorkshire. And I
love Yorkshire.
Lived in the countryside there. And then I also lived in a country in Norfolk for a bit. But they were both very, very rural places.
Also beautiful, though.
Yeah, very beautiful. But yeah, the diversity of London
it's
and
minimal.
New York is kind of... That's one of the things that appeals to me, how you could... like. You know,
yeah, but we go to holiday there for the beauty of it, right?
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Grass is always greener.
That's true. You do sort of talk about that, don't we? But, like, as a food lover, the idea of being in London or New York and being able to get food from around the world is one of the greatest things. Like, I love Asian food so much.
Yeah.
And The food you get in London is just...
is superb.
Incredible, yeah. Incredible. Well, and I lived in Birmingham for a bit, and actually, South Asian food in Birmingham is
really
very
good, right?
Very good as well. Like Bangladeshi and Indian food in Birmingham.
Yeah, must
very,
be. Yeah. They've got such a big population there.
Exactly.
So
that's
be.
Yeah, that's very good as well. So can't forget to mention Birmingham's Balties.
Balties.
They're always enjoyable. So Sheena, what's kind of next for you then? You mentioned, well, maybe this other production project, and do you think you'll maybe do more acting as well?
I hope so. Yeah. I love it. I'm so happy to be back to it.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm definitely producing more. So I'm looking at optioning a couple of books at the moment, so that's exciting.
Great.
I'm doing...
I'll send you my novel.
Please do. I'm doing a ton of voiceovers. I do Paddington, which is lovely.
Hold on. What do you... What?
So I play Zakira, the firefighter.
Oh,
Zakira,
wow.
Actually, which is amazing. So I do Paddington. I just did Scrooge.
Zakira the firefighter, right. I love the Paddington movie. I think Paddington movies are very, very good.
Oh, they're
they?
Amazing, yeah.
Very, very good.
So
yeah.
That, I'm doing a ton of those, which
and
is
so
super.
You're saying Scrooge?
Scrooge, I just did Netflix.
Yeah, awesome.
That's the Christmas film that's just coming out.
Yeah.
So that's always ongoing, and I absolutely love it. They're so much fun to do. And acting-wise, I hope more wonderful stuff comes up.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll have to look out for that. And make some more films as well.
Because, yeah,
I will. I think things like Kitchen Tales, obviously resonated with people. And I think there's a big audience waiting for stuff like that.
So I think so.
Do some more. Maybe something in the park.
Maybe. Hey, look, it's a setting here. You just have to get thousands of letters of council permissions, but I mean
that would be the problem, wouldn't it? Yeah, trying to film in the park could be a nightmare.
Exactly. We just need this fancy mic of yours and we're good.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the crazy troll mic.
The troll mic.
Exactly. Right, Sheena Vitessa, thank you so much for talking
thank
to me today.
You.
I hope you've enjoyed.
I have absolutely loved talking to you.
Brilliant. We'll have to get together again soon.
I look forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad, make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in the park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye. Coming up on the next Park Date, we'll be selling furniture. Loads and loads and loads and loads of furniture. So get your furniture on the next episode of Park Date. Did we mention there's some furniture?